Here we are. Welcome to Shitcoin Radio, epic version, episode 69. Nice. We got Batsoup Young, an OG, good friend of ours. So it should be a fun episode. OSAP, hey. Do you want to get into the sponsorship? I can't hear you. Can you hear him?
I can't hear him.
Classic.
It's going to be a good show, guys.
Well, this show is sponsored by Rollbit. They have trading. They have casino. They have fun games. And they've been with us for a while. So we don't have OSF. I don't know the codes. Do you, Mando?
No.
Okay, perfect. Technical difficulties, apparently. Let's see. Code. Pump it. I think it's just pump it, the code.
Just pump it. Love it.
Yeah, perfect.
Surely you mentioned the duck and the codes, Robert. Come on.
They did. It's the next code, actually. Somebody could actually figure that out if you have a brain. The next code is epic something.
That's a trade
code. But yeah, I mean, it's not an epic duck show, and we don't want to turn it into that. But
hey, let's hold up. So...
This is a shit show already.
Right, we codes. First code is NFT Crazy 921. NFT Crazy 921 is the first code. Show is sponsored by Rollbit. My mic is back on.
I thought it was Epic Duck.
No, yeah. It was not Epic Duck. Okay. All right. welcome back, Super Yum, to episode 69 of Rec Radio. This is probably one of the better starts we've had, believe it or not. So.
I could not think of a more appropriate start for an episode 69 that I am actually on. So I appreciate the intro. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a nice smooth intro for a nice smooth guest. That's how we like to run it on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You guys are like three of my favorite people in the space, and honored to be here. I just, to be honest, I never would have done this had it not been episode 69. So the timing is perfect.
There.
I think I asked you about this about 3 months ago, and I was like, I think we needed a guest that week. I said, I can get Bats. We all know Bats really well. And Bats like, yeah, I can do it in like 3 months.
Yeah. I was like, what was that? You gave us like a 3 month time frame. Like...
Well, the thing is, you know, it's like I did a bunch of these at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, end of last year, beginning of the year. And it's like, I just don't have that much. I generally don't have that much interesting shit to say in general. And I definitely don't have that much interesting shit to say week to week. So I try to put a little space between these. And I figured like after NFT NYC, maybe there'd be something semi-interesting to say, but nothing's coming to mind right now. So you can bore your guests by rugging.
What do you mean? That's such a lie, Bats. That's such a goddamn lie. You're like,
but we'll see. Let's do an evaluation after an
OG
hour.
NFT, like early X copy, early like every big artist, a great eye. You have a ton to talk about. I mean, is there any art that you're buying lately? I mean, is that dead? What happened there?
Yeah, I bought, let's see. I mean, I feel like I'm one of like three boomers left buying art right now. Everybody's focused on meme coins. But I got a piece from Cowboy Killer the other day. That was awesome. I got a Miss Al Simpson, Mind Mechanic. I bought a few things lately. It's like that Guido edition, the AI thing that he did. You know, my general thing is I kind of try to zig when others are zagging, and you know,
there's no competition in those streets right now, is there?
Oh, none, zero. Like, I mean, you would think, like, you know, back in the good old days, you bid on a piece that, like, you know, you guys would come in and rug me, then I'd rug you and be like this crazy bidding war. Now there's just like, you know, it's like tumbleweeds in the streets.
400K for a fucking Ness once.
So, it was worse. Yeah, good times, right? Good times.
Right? The last few days, X copy's been going crazy. The last few days, it feels like everything's been
mad. I mean, I don't want to like get too far into the weeds here, but like X copy, like that was my number one thing coming out of NFT NYC. It's like there's stuff going on with X copy that the public doesn't even know about. Like, I mean, there's like,
well, what is it?
Whales all over the place. Oh, I mean, you wouldn't believe like every new entrant that has money into the space is trying to get a Grail X copy. It's freaking unbelievable. I can see why these additions are going off, because there's more going on under the surface than I think people realize. It is crazy what's happening in that market, deservedly so, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I think one sold for nearly $2 million a couple of days ago, right? Or
wait, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cosimo posted about it. Yeah, that was a good one.
Older one or?
I think just a good one. Rather,
I think
than
it was a 2018. It's a 2018 piece, right? I think
a 2018.
Yeah, it's a 2018. Yeah, it was a good one. It's a really good one. It's a character piece, and but there's been others. I mean, there's been. That's not the only one that's sold recently in one of one. So yeah, it's amazing to watch. It's just suddenly, you know, it just popped out of nowhere and went nuts. So it's good to see. Hopefully it's like a harbinger for, you know, other art sales.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the GOAT for sure. You can recognize one instantly, like digitally native. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
yeah. He really and people as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think what's changed though, is that it's now just very similar to like the traditional art market, where just a few artists are selling at really high levels, and like the middle tier is still having difficulties, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think a couple things are happening. You know, there's like we have this meme coin mania going on right now, and you know, in Web3, the rule of Web3 when things like this happen is that the bright shiny object gathers all the attention, and prices on everything else goes down. It's just, you know, just so they, you know. Just somebody asked me about ETH PFPs the other day. Oh, are they going to go higher? Like, it's hard for anything to go higher right now with meme coin mania going on. So, like, I think, you know, once that settles down, you probably get some trickle down effects into other things. But I think what you're seeing with Xcopy is potentially the beginning of a bit of trickle down into other art, because there's only so many of these grails to go around. And once they get locked up, it's like, you know, these people that are in the space to buy art, they're not just going to give up, right? Their next stop is probably going to be like Beeple or Claire Silver or Die with the Most Likes, or, you know, there's like all kinds of artists that, you know, Sam Spratt, Joe Peace. It's like, there's a lot of artists out there, other art out there. And I think some of that's going to end up, some of this sort of Xcopy mania, it might be a little bit like CryptoPunks when you go on a run with CryptoPunks and then about 2 weeks later, everything else rallies. I think maybe we're seeing that. I mean, who the hell knows? But I think we might be seeing some of that going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, the mid-tier stuff, lower-tier stuff was just like overpriced for a while. Maybe it's like pricing correctly now. Xcopy is just obviously goaded, the grail. I wish I didn't sell mine, but that's a story for another time. Do you guys have one? Canary Labs? Yeah, I think so too. Can I buy it back?
Crunch, yeah, I was looking at it yesterday. It's a really good one.
I really love that one, to be honest. I love that one. I'll buy it back at cost, okay?
we'll talk offline, but the price is a little higher. How's that?
Throw it in MBS JQ. Just throw it in.
Oh, God. MBS JQ. That's how we all met, or me and OSF at least.
Yeah, I bought his AI piece recently too. I think I love him. I think he's great. He's like he's super into his daughter, who's like, could not be cuter. Like, one of the nicer people in the space.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I think just OSF and I bid it up a little too high at the beginning against each other, and then he rugged me too on the one. Well,
ooh,
yeah,
I like I that.
Not going to tell the story anyway.
Yeah, that 2021 period and, you know, early 22. Like, we're not going back to that. You know, that was just, wow, we can finally spend our ETH, and boy did we! You know, like that was a fun and interesting period. Yeah, I highly doubt we'll ever see that anytime soon.
That's the interesting thing here with this high end art pricing in ETH or, you know, dollars. How do you feel about that?
So everything I say on this podcast or Spaces should be my views only and not the group I work with, which is 6529. So, like, he's on one side of this, I think, and I'm on a little bit more of the other side. I think USD is going to become more and more prominent over time, and I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail for this, and I know one ETH equals one ETH, and there's all that, but I don't buy it. I think what you're seeing in CryptoPunks right now is some USD normalization. You know, if ETH goes, you know, take the extreme example, if ETH goes to 100,000 per ETH, like, CryptoPunks aren't going to be trading at 40 ETH, right? I mean, it's ridiculous to think that. So I think USD creeps in slowly, but I don't think USD ever is going to be 100% of like the explanatory variable for pricing. I think it's going to always be a combination of ETH and USD, but I do think we probably are getting closer to USD now than ever before. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think so too. It's hard, you know, it's hard for like people to, especially if you're an artist and you're just trying to like get stuff out there and manage your cash flow, manage your income, and you just have this fucking volatile currency every time you like need to use it for as much as even just minting a piece. It just doesn't feel very sustainable, but it's almost like the market implicitly prices these things in USD terms anyway. Like if you look at, I don't know, like generative art and fidenzas and autoglyphs and all that stuff, like every time ETH is higher, they get priced lower. They get priced in dollar terms. So it feels like implicitly the market does that anyway, but yeah, it just seems weird that ETH is like the predominant currency in which all this stuff is traded in right now.
I mean, I'd have to agree. You can't price an ETH. That's just ridiculous. The volatility, if it goes up to 10K even, I mean, you can't do that. It's just not real.
What do you think of all, like, cause you said that the market's like moved away from all that stuff, and obviously this cycle, it feels like ordinals, it feels like Solana, it feels like meme coins are like the main things which are grabbing attention. I know you're like more of a, I would say a more of a longer term mind with this sort of investment. Do you think any of the stuff that you see, which is hot right now, you think is going to last? I think a lot of like more ETH maxi styles are like, you know, they're in the long-term asset that will always be there. Do you see value in any of the new stuff?
Yeah, I do. I think ordinals are the most interesting thing going on in NFTs right now. I think that is a fascinating ecosystem. It is, look, I mean, it's the most secure OG chain out there. And you can, I mean, I don't think this is appreciated by a lot of people. Your artwork is on chain, right? Whatever you buy in NFTs is on chain. Unlike a lot of ETH work, I mean, there's certainly some exceptions like Rip Cash and some of these other OG, you know, sort of like chain maxi artists. But, you know, Elon Musk's number one criticism of NFTs was none of the artwork's on chain. Well, not only are ordinals on chain, they are also on the best chain, on the most well-known chain, on the biggest chain by market cap. So I think ordinals are absolutely like here to stay. And I'm really interested to see how that ecosystem develops, because I'm shocked at the number of developers building on ordinals. I mean, ordinals are kind of right now a shittier version of ETH NFTs, to be honest, right? I mean, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, programmability on ordinals. But I think all that's about to change. I think they're going to, that community is unbelievable. On meme coins, there's going to always be meme coins here. Always. There's no scenario I can see. Yeah, I mean, everything starts, it seems like, with meme coins. I mean, look at Base or Solana, or like these chains are taking off because of speculation of meme coins. It's awesome to watch, actually. I love it. It's like a catalyst for innovation. Now, that being said, I mean, OSF, I told you this in New York, I'm short a shit ton of meme coins. Like, I mean, my general view on meme, yeah, absolutely. Like, wow. My general view on meme coins, and I own a few too, so, you know, don't send me a bunch of death threats and hate mail.
What are you short?
But my general view, we'll get into that. I don't know. Depends on my level of like how many death threats I feel like.
With Boom, Pepe, there's only so many you can short.
He's short.
No, so here's my sort of mental like model on meme coins, which everybody can disagree with if they want. I think like 10 of these, you know, 20 of these are going to make it huge. And by huge, I mean, look at like Doge is at $27 billion market cap. Like there's a bunch of these that I think are going to be in the $10 to $20 billion range. Not in by a bunch, I mean like probably 10 to 20. The rest of them are going to zero. Like I, you know, like they just for like sure. There's not enough attention. There's not enough community. There's not enough, like, you know, and you're seeing that happen right now. And I'm not going to name them, but if you just have to watch, like if you just pick out like the top 100 meme coins of the last month, a ton of them are down huge from their all-time highs. And I think they're all going to just continue grinding lower because I see very little community around them. The ones that are like in that mid-tier, like in that $2 to $4 billion tier, I would never short those. Never. There's no way, because I just think those have a chance at catapulting into the pantheon, so to speak. And they're probably longs, to be honest. Like when we come back, I mean, we're in a weird period right now where I think things are calming down, but those are probably the candidates to be long. So I'm not like,
so
I'm
you
definitely
think it's like an escape velocity type thing once they get to a certain level.
Yes, I do. I think there's massive power laws in meme coins. Yeah. Massive, like bigger than NFTs, possibly, maybe the biggest power laws in Web3. And I think that you get your, you know, Stan Druckenmiller has this great quote. He's like, I'm not putting out campfires with my face. You know, and that's how I feel about some of these meme coins. Like, I'm not going to fight markets on some of these meme coins, because I actually think quite a few of them have a chance to just go parabolic, even from here.
How do you judge which ones you think are the ones to short? I know you mentioned market cap already, and the stuff in like the 2 to 4 range could maybe go a lot higher.
Is that a short? Probably.
Yeah, and how do you get like the liquidity to short, and you know, like, yeah, all that?
Yeah, kind of you stuff. Have to use perps, so you have to use perpetual futures to do it. It's impossible otherwise. So, you know, like Binance does it, but there's a ton of DEXs out there. Not a ton, but there's a bunch of DEXs out there that have perp markets on a lot of these.
What's all your leverage it's not ratio easy. On these when you're shorting?
I don't use a ton of leverage at all. Like, I, you know, that's, to me, that's a good way to just lose all your money. And by the way, for the audience, like, you guys should not short. Like, shorting is a fool's game. I mean, it's like you're capped at 100% returns. You're, you know, it's like the markets are against you. You'll get death threats in your friggin' timeline and people will hate on you. I'm just saying, as someone who has shorted like my entire career and done like okay with it, like some, like if I'm going to put a mental model behind meme coins, this is it. Like, I don't have intrinsic value or cash flow to fall back on, like all that stuff people call boomer, right? So to me, this is the way to think about it. Short the ones that are like in, you know, in answer to your question, OSF, I think that $500 million to $2 billion market cap range is a good candidate to look, is a good area to look for candidates on the short side, because they're not quite there and you could argue that they're overvalued. And then the way I think about it is like, what's the community up to? So you have to really kind of dig into like who's talking about it. And, you know, frankly, you could probably, if you were like Jim Simons at Renaissance, you know, one of the most famous quantitative hedge fund traders of all time, you could probably set up a bot that just basically tracks like mentions of certain meme coins on Twitter or you know, these Discord groups. And when things start slowing down, it's never a good sign. And I'll tell you what the worst sign of all is, when somebody meme coin starts out promising nothing, and then all of a sudden, quote unquote, utility starts coming along, like instant short, like just get, run for the hills. Like, utility is the worst possible outcome for a meme coin in that like $500 million to $2 billion range, in my view.
What do you ever think? Ship did that. Ship did that, right? Like, what I was thinking about this the other day is that, like, you know, I think meme coins are an asset class which are now going to, they seem like a better risk reward than even a lot of the altcoin market over like a longer term period, the top ones at least. But if you are on a chain, like, you're kind of tied to that chain. So like SHIB, which isn't really, I mean, I don't even know anyone who owns SHIB, but it's been around for a long time and it made itself into a chain. It kind of added like DeFi utility and now it's kind of just hanging out there at the top. Like, do you not think that these ones, when they become like, can we imagine Whiff or Pepe eventually becoming their own chain and then trying to do the DeFi thing to kind of stay more relevant over the long term? Doge is its own chain.
Yeah. I mean, how do you keep the eyeballs at some point, I guess?
That's a great question. I actually don't know the answer to that. It just sort of happens in these communities. I mean, I really think like if Whiff, for example, didn't do utility. I think that one of the interesting things that meme coins could do,
I mean,
is backward integrate into NFTs. So you go from the fungible to the non-fungible. Like, if Whiff did a 10,000 PFP drop, they would kill it. Like, that would go, it would go insane. Like, people, and then you would have
how do you
more
do that though when there's like, how many holders is there for Whiff? It must be a shit ton.
120,000 holders now.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to get the same sort of group that organized. You know, they're putting the dog with hat on the Vegas Dome there. I don't know if they did yet, but, you know, you'd have to get some sort of organizing, you know, momentum behind it. But I just think, like, there's ways to do this that are, like, fun and interesting. I mean, I would never short Whiff, by the way. I actually think that's probably one of the – and I'm not long it either, and I'm not recommending it, but that's probably one of the candidates for, like, you know, rip your face off type rally here once we come out of this slower period.
Strong. For sure.
Yeah.
What do you think is
crazy?
What do you think is causing this slower period, by the way? Like, you know, we're at a point where maybe there's been some ETF outflows, but it's not been crazy, and funding is like materially lower than it has been for much of this year.
I
mean, like,
can I step in? We went up in a fucking straight line, so everything should chill. No.
I mean, that's part of it, right? But the other part of it is we're kind of like, I've seen a lot of these left curve type periods. You know, I think the last one before this was the Ben Dot ETH and Poly, you know, people were just sending money.
Yeah.
And then you saw like 2 weeks ago, you know, like the peak was definitely, I thought, and I was thinking this at the time, like $40 million to Machi Big Brother. Like, I have no opinion of Machi Big Brother. It, you know, whatever you think of him, that's fine. But people gave this guy $40 million. Like,
Obi gave him 50 grand.
That's hilarious, OSF.
Hey, gambler's a gambler. What can I say?
Can I pivot real quick back to Ordinals? What about the file size for that? Is real art on there yet? Or is it just kind of like puppets, which I fucking
Yeah. So I bought a Ryan Koopmans on there the other day that was like transforms over time. And they have this, and this is stretching the boundaries of my technical expertise, but they have new, you know, things on there called recursions, where you can add multiple file sizes and then it combines them, recombines them whenever you pull it up and things like that. Like, they are making real progress on the file size thing. Now, the cost is a real issue. Like, it's definitely gone through the roof. So, like, you wouldn't do, and I never thought this was a good use case for Ordinals anyway. Like, you wouldn't do a 10,000 PFP drop on Ordinals. I just don't think that's the purpose of
that
the Ordinal chain. Yeah, I mean, there people did it back when it was cheap, but right now to do that, it would be very cost prohibitive. Like, you would just be better off doing it on Solana or Blur. Or Blast or Base.
Yeah, if you had to pick a chain to drop an NFT, where are we doing it?
I would do like a profile. You know, I'm going to get a bunch of like Solana maxis like hating on me. I am a decentralization kind of maxi, and I have this belief. You know, all the L2s right now are still centralized, but a lot of them have roadmaps to decentralize. And I just I am sort of like EVM compatible type of thinking, and so I like the L2s a bit more than I like Solana, but I really like Solana as well. So if I did, I would do it on one of those two because the cost
is
really low.
And do those trades? Buy Solana, Mando.
I think Obi's doing the trades today.
Well, share the screen. Yeah. Let's get it hyped.
Do we not do them at the end?
No,
you're doing during the show.
Oh shit! Sorry. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, like it's if we get liquidated or not.
Dude, has it taken you 69 shows to figure this out?
No, this is
a new it's a new thing.
Oh, okay. So. I see. Okay, yeah. I'll stop giving you
the bets. Do you even know the context of like what happened last week? Like I accidentally created a coin on this show. Did you hear about this or no?
I did hear about it because OSF told me about it at NFT NYC and it was unclear if he was happy about this or not.
He definitely wasn't happy. But it's now, we're now building around it. Solana. Are you on Solana? Are you involved in anything in the low cap meme coin space?
I am. Yeah. I was. I am involved in some of these meme coins. Some of them are given to me.
Do you own Epic Duck?
I do not own Epic Duck. Wow. I have no view on Epic Duck. I have actually. There have been so many duck questions in. Somebody at NFT NYC was telling me about cat with tits, and I thought, boy, this is like,
are you fucking joking? Cat with tits.
When it was pitched to me, I felt like, you know, this is probably. I feel very good with my short position right now.
All right. So what we doing? What trades we putting on here?
Some high volatility ones.
Should we do a short shitcoin trade for in Bats's honor?
Yeah, short Bohm.
Is Bohm on here?
No, don't short Bohm. Bohm's actually got a real artist behind.
It's only 40 minutes. That I really like. It's only short 40 minutes, Bat.
The record, I like Bohm and I like Dark Farms.
Okay, out of respect for Dark Farms, we will go long Bohm instead. How about that?
Did you get in the pre-sale? That was a good one.
I did not know. I missed. I'm such a boomer. Like, I missed all this shit on pre-sale. Like, I'm like, huh? You know, meanwhile, like Barad and some of the folks I work with are just like making generational wealth on this stuff. And I'm over here buying art still.
So what leverage are you using here?
I think we do two grand a trade and then just do max leverage at 2 grand.
So that's 99.
Let's go roller coaster. 50. So much more fun.
All right.
Anyway.
You got it?
You think Super Rare will ever like have shareable files? Post on Twitter. Like, I want to share some art, and it's like not possible.
So they have a, they do have a, to their credit, they have an IPFS link now that you can click on, and it's much easier to at least save the files to be shared. So,
do you have any on display, like in your homes, NFTs?
I do. I don't have.
I have two of them. And they're just blank screens.
So I have a screen. I got it from clickcreate.io. This is the project that Clutch and NorCal run, which is fabulous. It's like a big artist forward, artist centric project. They do like a couple drops a week. It's a really cool project. And they gave away free screens, and I got the screen, and it's sitting here. I still don't know how to get it going because the software needs to be loaded on it.
I've tried so many times with fucking both screens. It's just not possible.
It looks like an awesome screen though. But I have a lot of physicals. Like the artists, like, you know, I'm one of those probably rare people that are like, yeah, I would love to get the physical with it. So like right now I'm looking at two Rip Caches. I have a Pinder Van Armen. I have a Luciana Guerra. I have Railers Dam. I have a Beeple in here. Yeah, so I've got quite a bit of art just where I'm at right now. So,
do you view yourself? What do you view yourself now in the space as an art collector, or as like a degenerate, or just a like trader, or enjoyer?
Yes. So, you know, it's probably more art collector than anything else, but like there's no possible way to be a participant in this space for, I've been here since late 2020. Like all of it's fun. I mean, I just think the most underappreciated aspect, and I wrote about this the other day on Twitter, like how do you value fun? Like, you know, we have this change of mindset coming out of COVID where people were just like, fuck this job, you know, take this job and shove it type thing. And I'm working from home, and kind of gave power back to the people. And that mindset is really amplified here, I think, which is just like, we don't care what like, you know,
is it fun or is it like a dystopian gamble your future and that's the only way out?
Or both? I think it's probably both a little bit. I think it's a little both, but the fun is always going to be here, right? I mean, the fun is like, so in answer to your question, I'm not averse to fun. I'm trading shit coins. I'm trading, you know, I have editions of art that I trade. I sold two Coldy pieces 2 weeks ago. So I'm not averse to selling
you
things.
Sold those?
I did, yeah. I sold two Coldy pieces to One Confirmation, who were like a really great firm. They own, you know, they own the number one token on Super Rare, which is Robbie Barrett's first ever generated, you know, GAN piece, which is probably one of the most historic pieces
out
there.
I saw those. I wanted to sell my Coldy because those prices were fucking good.
Yeah, he deserves that. I mean, he deserves, like, I've been like one of the only buyers of Coldy one of ones for the last 2 years, and I was really happy to sell a couple of ones. I still own eight Coldy one of ones, so
his physicals are fire.
He's a great artist. I love him. But yeah, so it was time to let a couple go. What's that?
Do you buy trad art? Like any?
No. I'm just not. I've looked at it. I've read a bunch of books, and it's like I just like whatever's going on in trad art is fucking disgusting to me. I just don't have any interest. Like what we're doing here is trying to disintermediate those folks. Like,
what do you think? Just bought this.
What is this? Is this a David Hockney?
Trad art. Anyway.
Wow.
Okay, boomer.
How much did you pay for that?
That was 40,000 pounds.
Bats, he's just lining you up for the next time he gets like liquidated. And he's like, hey, man, I've got some art I can sell you.
Yeah, I expect him to be in my DMs in about 2 weeks.
I'm a trad art guy.
Yeah, we all. Yeah, is that what you tell yourself at night?
No, it's a good place to put money, and it's a liquid, so I can't, you know, sell it and get trapped in it. It's perfect.
What do you think? You know, this liquid stuff saves you. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
What do you think for this cycle then, Bats? Like, what are your big predictions? This is, how many cycles have you done, and how do you think this is going to go?
So, you know, this is all like total, you know, crystal ball type shit that nobody should trade on whatsoever. It's like very, you know, sort of up in the air. You know, I think that my general view is that like, we are at a moment, I don't know if you guys have read it, but if anybody hasn't read it yet, they should. It's a Read, Write, Own by Chris Dixon. It's like a fabulous book. I just finished it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think the point he makes in that book, which I completely agree with, is like Bitcoin and some of these crypto, you know, you could argue Solana, you could argue ETH, you could argue, like, you can make arguments for a lot of them, but definitely Bitcoin. You know, it feels like one of those moments right now where, you know, when you're like, oh, you know, 20 years from now, if you had bought Amazon at $2, you'd be worth 10 billion bajillion dollars right now. And it, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I should have bought Amazon at $2. And it kind of feels that way right now with Bitcoin, to be honest, like, it, and maybe Ethereum and Solana as well. Like we are on the verge. I mean, we're only like 20 years old, the whole industry, right? I mean, it's not that old. And it's like just now starting to gain acceptance. Yeah. It's so low. And it's like in the NFT space, I think you can even make a stronger argument if you can pick the right ones. But to me, and this is where like, I think like patience runs into dopamine. Like to me, I think every person should in crypto should own a bag of Bitcoin, Solana, Ethereum, and leave it the fuck alone. Don't touch it. Like, and I know that's a problem around here because we traffic in dopamine. And take like 20% of your portfolio and trade shitcoins all you want till your heart's content. Plan on losing it all, but trade them and get it out of your system. But like, don't be in crypto and not own some of the OGs, because this is like, if crypto makes it, those are going to make it massively. And the shitcoins are just going to have a ton of zeros. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, you know, 10 years from now, I should have just owned Bitcoin. Like, don't be that person. Like, everybody should own a little bag of Bitcoin and some of the other OGs and then trade all the shitcoins you want, but don't miss out. That's how I feel.
It kind of brings me back to the Suzu tweet. Yeah. Like, don't let the bankers steal your coins in that bear market spot. Ironically, he did get all his coins stolen. got a lot of mine stolen too, but yeah, eventually you get priced out. And, you're kind of seeing that already with Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't, you know, this is, again, probably like, I don't want to give investment advice, but it's not too late. You know, we just got a Bitcoin ETF. Like, we are just seeing an ecosystem being built on the top of Bitcoin. We are just on like seeing Solana emerge as the, like, one of the high TPS, you know, low cost gods out there or chains. So, you know, I look at this stuff and I'm like, it's so cliche to say we're so early, but I also look at it and say, God, we are so early. I mean, and you just have to leave it alone.
Do you feel that way? Even like with the stock market, the way it's, you know, rallied off AI essentially, like, obviously risky assets are tied together. So if that pulls back, does crypto pull back?
I have a hard time seeing how risk assets in the stock market don't somehow carry over to crypto eventually. But it's happened. Like, I think crypto's just got a bull market somewhere at all times. Like, you could have the stock market pull back 50% on, like, I don't know, like nuclear warfare happening somewhere around the world. And like somewhere in the basement of like some degen's house, they're going to be buying SHIB. You know, like, I just think like nobody would, people in crypto don't give a shit. So there's going to be a bull market somewhere in crypto, it seems like, at all times. But my view is that, like, if we get a huge correction in the stock market, I just think Bitcoin has this constant tension right now where it's either a risk asset or a store of value and a hedge against inflation. And it seems like it's gotten better over time as a store of value and a hedge against inflation. But we have a lot of people who own Bitcoin ETF who view it as, like, you know, the riskiest thing they own in their portfolio. And if you get a pullback in risk assets in the stock market, guess what's going to be the first thing that gets sold? It's going to be Bitcoin. Yeah. And guess what else? Everything in crypto follows Bitcoin right now. The correlations, I've looked at the correlations like 2 weeks ago. They're super, super high. So, you know, be careful. I think, you know.
Bitcoin's fucking strong, man. It is definitely really strong. I mean, it's basically like a low float asset, realistically.
Yeah.
And so
have you seen what's going on in gold? Like,
yeah, you know,
I can't ignore what's going on in gold as well. So
it's pretty parabolic for gold for sure.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what, you got a couple gold bars or what?
No, my gold bars are Bitcoin. See, that's the thing. We're like at this generational divide where like a lot of boomers go to Costco and buy gold bars, and everyone else on this call says, Costco? You know, I don't want to own gold bars. I want
Dude, have you not seen this?
I got a couple bars, you know.
Costco is selling $200 million of gold a month at the moment.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Costco? That's weird.
I saw that in your minutes today. By the way, I read your minutes, Mondo, religiously. That's one of the best dailies I get.
Yeah, it is. It is really good.
How wild is that? Like, it's the same in China as well. Like, all this retail buying of gold is just
why?
It's just insane. Because people just don't believe in fiat currencies. It's another play on it. It's just debasement. They just see it coming.
It's a weird ass play. They're paying like a massive fucking fee to do that for sure.
It definitely buy.
Yeah, I don't know why you just wouldn't buy buy Bitcoin. You know, like why would you want to store gold anywhere? Like it's I think it's dangerous.
I think it's just like a generational divide, like you said, and most people aren't very smart.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to bet on the younger generation than I am the older generation because I know who's going to be around in 20 years.
Exactly.
So where do you think, Bats, we are in this cycle at the moment? Like, I see that's a question that's asked a lot on Twitter, and everyone's like, oh, we're middle or towards the end or whatever. Like, do you think we've seen like the retail influx we've been hoping for, or maybe we won't see what we saw last cycle? And where do you think we are in terms of the stage of it?
So I think it's, you know, it all depends on like your time frame. So we'll start there. Like on a 10-year time frame, we're unbelievably early. On a 10-week time frame, it's a little weirder. So I'll just take like two major asset classes. Like digital art, I think we're super early. Like I just, you know, again, I don't think we're going to go back to see 2021 prices anymore. But like NFTs, I think in general, I think there's so much to be done there. Like ticketing and finding your true fans and brands like Nike getting involved. Like I just like it seems to me like intangibles on chain, digital objects on chain has a lot of really interesting use cases, and we only scratch the surface. On a near-term basis, look, I mean, everybody's attention is on meme coins right now, so I think like you could continue to struggle. Like I'm not surprised to see punks at 40 ETH. I'm not surprised to see Bored Apes sit down at, you know, 12 or 13 ETH. Like it does not surprise me to see that because everybody's distracted. In the meme coin cycle, we're probably still pretty early. I mean, I don't, you know, I know we're in like a dead zone right now, but things feel like momentum's really, really hard to kill in any risky asset class. Really hard. I think it's a fool's game to start calling tops and meme coins. I think we're probably not close to the end of that cycle in Bitcoin. And some of the bigger ones, I think it's still very early. Like I said, you know, I think you could get like, you know, we had a horrible CPI print this morning, as you probably saw, and the stock market's getting wrecked today. That's probably going to carry over to crypto at some point. I don't see a huge moves in things today, but that's probably going to carry over. So you could have a period here of slowdown where everybody's kind of reminded that things don't just go straight up every single day. But overall, I'm very, very bullish on the entire space. I think it's really hard to bet against a secular trend. There's just, look how many wallets are out there. Like nobody, I mean, I think we all are trading with each other sometimes, or at least it felt like it, especially during the bear, but there's just not that many people here yet. So you're really fighting a secular trend by betting against a lot of what's out there. And I don't recommend doing it again, even though I'm doing it some of it. I just think it's so early. There's just not that many people here yet. And it's interesting enough that it's going to continue, I think, growing secularly. So that's kind of how I feel right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's thin. And
something something I'll always remember is when I saw you in Denver in like February 2022 at ETH Denver, and Bats was like, for the first time in my life, I own zero equities. Like I had like zero crypto, like nothing. And yeah, and literally it was really? Like, it was literally the top of the market right before everything puked. And I remember thinking at the time.
I thought you meant now.
No. This is like, I just remember it because he was like so like so right, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to believe it because I don't want to sell any of my stuff. And then obviously everything it was a terrible year for crypto in the end. But I guess from what you're saying, you don't feel like we're too early to even for you to be in a position like that or you may not even want to be in a position like that, because the bear cases that existed then are not the same as exist now.
Not yet. Look, if inflation continues to stay high and the Fed doesn't cut rates and we start, angling towards a recession, which a lot of people predicted last year that didn't happen, things get a little dicey in risk assets. But again, I feel like Bitcoin is in a really, in crypto in general, could be in a really interesting spot, because it's actually, there's a good use case to own Bitcoin during a recession. There's a good use case to own Bitcoin given, if you look at what Raoul Paul tweeted out yesterday, I thought was really interesting, where we have inflation plus massive money supply growth. This is not great for the economy, right? You're still growing the money. No wonder we haven't gone lower in terms of recessionary, forces taking over, because the money supply is still growing at 8% a year. So I think it's really hard for me to see this all just falling to pieces anytime soon. So in answer to your question, I'm not uber bearish at all. In fact, I feel very kind of sanguine about the stock market and the economy in general. And I think that's actually a pretty good spot to be in if you're in crypto. That being said, things could change immediately. I don't know if you read Jamie Dimon, who runs JP Morgan, he writes an annual, and he called this the most dangerous period in US history since World War II. Given all
he's kind of said that a couple times recently though.
Yeah, but you have these factors, what if Putin drops a nuke, or what if Iran drops a nuke, or it could change. Black swans are everywhere, I think is his point. And things could change dramatically. And I don't live my life like that, but I'm just saying, if things stay the way they are now, I think it's a pretty good environment.
Yeah, I mean, even with CPI today, Bitcoin held up incredibly well.
It had that dip this morning, and then it's kind of worked, clawed its way back.
It's definitely
impressive, isn't it?
What did the other 6529 boys think? Can you take a lift the lid slightly on the brain trust over there? How do you guys operate? Who's the most bullish? How do you guys look at things?
I'm definitely the dumbest member of 6529. Those guys are gods. They're so good. Barat and Noon, Fon Ro are they're so good. They are really good. They get the technology. They put these things in our group chat, and I'm the boomer who has to go to Investopedia to look up what they're talking about. And 6529 himself is fantastic at this stuff. So, it is really good to speak with them, because I'm generally the biggest bear of the group, and I'm not even that bearish. And they are more bullish than I am, I would say. And they have been 100% right. So they are really, they are far ahead of me in this game in terms of understanding new technologies and what's going on. So my hat's off to them.
Man, I mean, I think about it all the time. Maybe if I just was never bearish, I'd make more money.
I mean, it's the most left curve fucking market of all time. It's just crazy. The 2 weeks ago was the most left curve market I've ever seen in crypto. It was literally the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. And I'm too much of I have too much old school Web 2 in me to send Machi $50,000. I just cannot bring myself to do it. It goes against everything I've ever believed in. So hats off to you if you made money, but that's never going to be.
I don't think anyone did on that one. They got smoked.
Well,
OSF, can we get a trade update, bro?
Yeah, our trades are doing well, actually. Let me share my screen again. Well, what two of them are doing well. The longs are doing well. The one short, which is SHIB, is not doing well. So,
wow, we're printing.
Yeah, we should have just gone long everything, basically.
That's the kind of market, man.
Yeah, good thing we didn't short BOEM. BOEM is our biggest winner. We would have been liquidating on BOEM by now. Have we?
Yeah, that was my
fault. Bats was right.
I didn't say go long BOEM. I just said I like dark farms and he's doing cool shit. So
that was the thesis.
Man, I wish I aped into that. D sent it to us, and I ignored it.
There's a new thing every week. I think you just can't have FOMO at the moment, because something just goes off. Ansem's cat went to 100 million last week or 2 weeks ago, right? There's just something each week. You just got to – it is that time where you just have to keep on reminding yourself that when someone – someone puts something new in your chat and you're already kind of late to the person who put it into the chat and you kind of fade it, you should just never fade it. You should just never fade it. It's always like, oh yeah, but it's already up. I don't really want to buy that. And then it just does another 10x. So I think that's, you just got to accept that your friends are probably going to show you some good trades.
Yeah, I learned this lesson in, I was short GameStop for many, many, many years before that rally and Wall Street Bets took over. And I got out early, thank God. And I watched it go higher. And, you know, I know we're in this market where it says, you know, everyone says, study this, study that. There's a lesson in this. There's a lesson in that. There actually was. And the lesson is, like, don't fight the crowd. Like, when the crowd starts, like, foaming at the mouth, like, you don't have to buy it, but don't do, don't short it. Like, I mean, that is like, you know, the crowd will win, especially around here. I mean, everybody here is retail. Everybody here is like, you know, paying attention to Twitter, paying attention to Discord. I feel like, you know, they have inside baseball on what's going on and I don't. Like, I'm not stupid. I mean, I'm not going to get run over by a train.
I mean, you can't mid-curve.
Yeah, you cannot mid-curve.
You can't try to be too smart, like, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
GameStop was a good short. It was a good short at one point, though. You just have to let it go.
Yeah. It's back at $10. I mean, I think the lesson here is that, you know, again, like I said, I think a bunch of these meme coins are going back to zero, and GameStop is a, you know, let me not say bad things about GameStop. GameStop has a challenging business model, shall we say, to be very nice. There was no way that stock was ever going to stick around $400, which I think was around the peak. And I feel that way about a lot of meme coins, and it's probably going to take months, if not years, for some of these to like go down significantly. And like I said, some of them will go to $20 billion and most of them will probably go to zero.
Yikes.
It's dangerous as fuck to short in most of these spots because it's so illiquid and sometimes like nothing makes sense at all and it just goes. So
feels like those meme stocks are coming back, right? It feels like there's this big trend in society right now that just people are just, I don't know, I keep on seeing this about China and the US that young people are just turning to gambling way and way more and away from everything else. Like some media's come back as this new stock, right? And Reddit and all these other like meme stocks seem to be coming back. It does just feel as though, I don't know, I just think the age of gambling. I feel like it's like people are going to be peak gambling from here on.
Like if you go to like, I mean, the Donald Trump SPAC, like I think is like one of those. Like if you go onto a casino floor, who is having the most fun? Like for those, you know, you guys have all been in a casino. Who's, say that?
Craps players, maybe?
Exactly. The hot craps table are the people having the most fun consistently in any casino. And why is that? Because it's a social game. We're social animals, right? So like none of the surprise, we call it gambling, but there's a social aspect to this that people just love. Like, I mean, the hot craps table is by far, even if you don't know how to play craps, everybody stops and looks to see what's going on, right? And I feel like that's a lot of what's going on here, right? You own whatever, let's pick a random one, Pepe or a dog with hat. There's a community behind it. You're making money. People are having fun. People are tweeting out funny memes about it. Like
that
it's just
community
fun.
Though, oof. We saw them dancing the other day. That was questionable.
that was literally some...
that was the night.
It's like those kids are millionaires.
Meme coins.
It's like wow, fuck.
Yeah, that was a little. That was an interesting one. but yeah, that's my point. It's like you know we're just these meme coins, these meme stocks. It's way more than just short squeezes and you know, kind of interesting like. Stocks, you know, financial speculation. There's a lot under the surface. There's a big community here, like Wall Street Bets organized on Reddit, right? Like it's kind of a metaphor for a craps table.
Yeah,
fair. And they like sticking it to the man who's short and all that shit. So
yeah, I kind of love that aspect to it. I admire them for doing that. That was fun.
Yeah, I don't know how they hold long so far. I mean, good for them. They round trip most of them, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like a lot of this stuff. Yeah, great. Own it. Have fun. But you better have a chair when the music stops, right? Because It's gonna
those
stop.
GameStop guys, man. Yeah, they got they round trip so fucking hard. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's at $10, right? I mean,
up like 30 mil. No, we're just gonna hold.
Yeah, and there were tattoos, and there were like, you know, there was all this sort of graveyard dancing on hedge funds and all that. That was all fun. Everybody was having a good time. But don't kid yourself. Like, the end was fairly certain on where GameStop would end up. Now it's taken 3, 4, 5 years, but it's not like this is should be a big surprise to anyone.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right, well, I think we're like coming to the end of the show. We can kind of probably wrap up with the closing questions. Or the closing question, that's for you, which is, what's your best advice on how not to get wrecked?
On how not to get wrecked? best advice on how not to get wrecked. I think to do what I said earlier, just take whatever you do. You're here. You're in crypto. If you're listening to the show, you understand crypto. Like, don't look back 10 years from now and be like, oh, I lost all my money on meme coins because you didn't own Bitcoin or you didn't own Solana or you didn't own Ethereum. Like, put a little aside and pretend like it doesn't even exist. Don't trade it. Don't think about it. Just leave it alone. Be a participant in the crypto ecosystem and don't be the loser who like looks back 10 years from now and says, wow, I should have bought Amazon at $2 and you would have been a gazillionaire. Like, be a part of it. Like, yeah, trade the meme coins, have fun, but also like recognize that you're going to make a lot more money by being patient. I mean, I'll tell you a story real quick before we sign off.
Yeah,
there was this great study done by Fidelity, phenomenal, and they are like one of the largest, you know, asset managers on planet Earth. And what they realized, the one trait that was consistent across all of their customers that made money, more money than anyone else. See if you can guess what it was. There was one defining characteristic across all of their customers of a certain group of people who consistently made more money than anyone else. So what was it?
Buy and hold, man. Buy and hold. Buy and hold.
It's close. So it was when they called these people up, it was people who said to Fidelity, I don't have a Fidelity account. So what happened was they were bequeathed a Fidelity account, like as part of a death or something, you know, like, or they opened it up with their employer and they kind of forgot about it or whatever. Like, they didn't even know they had a fucking Fidelity account. And those people were consistently outperforming everyone else. So, you know, as we say around here, there's a lesson in that. Study this.
The bats. When the hell are you buying Epic? I think is the end of this goddamn question. I want to see who's the biggest holder by the end of this stream, man. We're gonna go against everything you just said on this stream, and you're gonna put it all into Epic.
Well, if there's a perps market out there, I'd consider shorting it, but I don't know about buying it.
Wow, it's perking
I'm
up.
Kidding, I'm kidding. Bad joke. I would never short anything that you had your name on, and maybe KBM as well.
Appreciate it. All right, how are the trades?
KBM was the founder. KBM was the founder when it was at 25 million. He wasn't a founder when it was at 10 million.
Sounds like Elon Musk with PayPal.
All right, well, Bats, thanks so much for coming on. It's awesome to have you on the show finally, and yeah, it's great to learn something from some of the older guys around here. So yeah, we very much appreciate it.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you guys for having me. I hope everyone else enjoyed it too.
Yeah, of course. We're gonna close out these prizes and stuff. So you're more than welcome to stick around. Also, don't let us hold you back if you want to crack on with the rest of your day as well.
What happens after this?
I don't really know what am I supposed to do here, guys.
I'll stick around for a few more minutes. I'm morbidly curious to see what you guys come up with. So
how do we give this away?
We lost a lot of money last week. That's what actually happened.
And so do I close these trades now?
We close out the trades, and what we actually did, we put it all into the roller coaster, and then we tried to 2x it. So you could either do that, or you can just give it out as 3 prizes. It's your call.
All right, so let's close them.
Let's just give it out, yeah.
All right.
Well, the net win is $2,000, which is actually is that not a net loss given how much we had?
Well, they were free trades, so
true. Yeah, free trades.
Yeah, but we had 3 $6,000 trades.
All right, let's run the Twitter picker and do 700 to each person. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do that. So Rec Intern, if you want to run the Twitter picker, and we'll be giving away $700 to each person who wins top three, and we have to get them onto the space as well.
I guess. So. Yeah, I'll be watching.
Okay.
We don't have to.
I feel like we need to have riskier trades if we're going to do this.
Just roller coaster.
Do we just roller coaster it and give the win?
Just give away the 700 to three people and let's move on.
Okay. All right.
Picking?
Yeah. Right. Intern, if you want to do the picks. Well, we just start each other awkwardly.
You coming through?
There we go.
I think let's just give them out rather than have them on stage because they're not doing the we're not doing spins, right?
Yeah, fine. Okay, so the winners are Justin Steak Stinks.
Ski, like that.
HSKY forever, and Pattern Up D are the three winners. So we'll send, if you guys want to DM the Rekt Radio account, we will send you the winnings, which are $700 each.
What were the second codes as well? They're asking in the chat.
Oh, yeah. The second code is... That was last episode. All right, here we go. Second code is Pixel Art 782 is the second code.
Okay.
That's
it.
Are we getting the winners or did that happen?
We did the winners. Yeah, we'll just have to DM the Rekt Radio account and then we'll send them the winnings from that.
All right. Good shit, Bats. It was fun.
Thank you
guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right.
Yeah, good to see you all.
Well, we didn't get to see you, but this is me and OSF. Yeah,
well, you don't want to see me. I haven't showered or cleaned up yet, so I'm kind of a mess.
Thanks for the insight there.
Well, I smell great. I can tell you that.
All right, we'll catch you later. Good show, Jess. Let's wrap it up, intern.
All right,
thank you.
Cheers,
all.
Guys.
Bye.